welcome everybody to another thrilling episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my co-host and the man who secretly planted Bigfoot footprints all across the Northwest United States, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I still got that suit in my closet. I love just breaking it out every once in a while.
I love that I just said that you did the feet, but you like went full outfit. You actually have the full outfit to go. Like, you just get into character.
Absolutely.
As you're putting the footprints.
All those grainy videos from the 90s of Sasquatch in the woods, it's me. Mm-hmm. It's all me. Yeah. I'll take credit for it. No one else is. No one else taking credit. I'll say it.
Might as well. Yeah.
Is it Sasquatch or Sasquatch? How do you say it?
Okay, well, I've never heard it Sasquatch. That's like a fancy person. Oh, have you seen the Sasquatch?
The Sasquatch.
We keep him in the pen out back.
That's what they call him in England. That's what William calls him.
Okay.
It's the Sasquatch.
Well, William makes everything. Yeah, because everything that William says sounds fancy.
It's true.
Sorry, sounds fancy.
I mean, I'll be honest. I wish I had a British accent. Despite people telling me I have a Southern accent like you. Listeners, I need you to come to my aid once again. Homeketeers, do I have a Southern accent?
He has a Southern
I'll
accent.
Ask no other
I'll
other.
Answer for
no,
all
no, no,
of
no. Don't sway the audience. I'm not giving any background about why I might be triggered if you say I do, but just tell me, do I have a Southern accent? That's all I want to know. Hey, CEO of Apple has a Southern accent, so it's not that I feel bad about it. I'm just saying. I'm triggered now. All right. We have a bunch of Apple stuff we want to talk about, but we'll hit one piece of HomeKit brand news. Akara, our friends at Akara who make all the different things, their roller shade thing, the thing that attaches to the little roller balls on the shade to make it go up or down, they actually have it released now in the UK release of it. And so you can get it. I'll put a link to that in show notes. It is £59. I think you guys still use pounds over there in the UK. It's £59 and you can, you know, put it on basically a pair of dumb shades and make them smart through the Akara E1 roller shade. So there you go.
I wanted to test these and I don't have any roller shades any longer. So I've got no way to test these guys out.
That's true. That is true. Well, we'll put a link if you guys want to check them out, listeners. But now, Apple season, man, all the devices, all the stuff. Pre-orders. We recorded last time before we did the pre-orders and we kind of like foretold what we would have or have had pre-ordered. But now that it's actually officially done, what were pre-orders like for you and what did you get?
Well, Apple changed the pre-order system this year to make it really, really easy.
Yeah.
Like you could just go through the checkout process and add it to your cart and then, you know, morning of, boom, just checking out super fast.
Yeah.
I ended up going 13 Pro. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why and why I almost immediately regretted it. Well, my thought was if I went with the 13 Pro Max, I'm not learning anything.
Right.
Right? Because I've already got a 12 Pro Max. So getting a 13 Pro Max, it's like same thing, like same size, just, you know, the newer phone. I'm not like getting different.
You don't need a surfboard either. You know, you're not surfing. You don't need a Max to surf on.
I like the 12 Pro Max.
That's fine.
But at least going with the 13 Pro,
yeah,
I have something else to compare. So I'll be using it day to day. And if I hate it, I just go back to the 13 Pro Max. I got 2 weeks to swap it back out for the 13 Pro Max. So I'm going to try the different, because if I just went with the 13 Pro Max, I would have no idea if I liked the smaller size or not. So I'm going to give the smaller size a shot and then maybe switch back to the Max, but we'll see. But the reason I like immediately regretted it was because all the reviews dropped this week, all the embargoed reviews, and everything was like, battery life is awesome. And like, they're really talking about like on the 13 Pro Max. And I was like, cool, I'm going to have...
It's better on the 13 Pro though, too.
Yeah, but I'm going to have less battery life. The 13 Pro has better battery life, but it's still like below what I'm getting with the 12 Pro Max.
Mm.
So I'm going to be, it's like, it may be cool, but it's still a step down for me. So
I think you'll like it. I've gone with the Pro models the last several years. I have not done any Maxes. I did an 11 Pro Max for like a week and I returned it because it just felt so big and heavy.
See, I've already dismissed your opinion then. Like if you went with the 11 Pro Max and they're like, oh, that's too big and heavy.
Yeah.
I use the Max phones since they came out and I've loved them.
Yeah.
Like I've never thought they were like massively too big or heavy. I mean,
no.
Now I just kind of think I would like the smaller one.
Right.
But I've always really liked and preferred all the bigger ones. So if you went with like that first one and were like, oh, this is too big, then like I'm not going to trust your opinion on the ones because you
no,
already
no, no,
started back. Then you were against them. You were against listen, him from the beginning, Steven.
Listen, you triggered me again. I went through with the Plus phones from the beginning. I had the 6S Plus, uh-huh. or the 6 Plus, 6S Plus, 7 Plus, and then I went to the 10. Obviously, we all had to choose the one size.
Yep.
And I did the 10S Max for, again, for a couple weeks. I returned it, went with the 10S. Did the same thing with the 11 Pro Max. And it's something where, this is going to be really weird. If I encourage you listeners, watch on YouTube so you can see what I'm about to do, because this requires a visual. I'll try to describe it. I'm curious, Andrew, when you are holding your phone,
sure.
Okay, we're talking ergonomics here. When I'm holding my phone, I do this thing where I put my pinky like under the phone to like stabilize it.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Absolutely.
So whenever I had a max size phone, my pinky would get, I don't know if it's RSI, I don't know if it's like some kind of strain, but something on there, like it would just, my pinky would start feeling, it would hurt basically. Like that's how heavy the max phones were. And like to try and hold a max with your fingers like wrapped all the way around the back, it's just so big. Like you can't use your thumb to like touch anything then. So that was one. And just the overall size, I've really like the pro size, not the max going forward. So that's just me. Does your pinky never like die?
No, it does. No. I had more of an issue though on the 11 Pro Max,
right?
Because of its round bottom that it has.
Oh yeah.
I've got an older phone here, whatever the heck this thing is, like an SE actually. The rounded phone and like the speaker grill,
right?
And the lightning port, essentially like they were perforated, and it was create like this perforated edge. Like if you rub your finger on the bottom of like an 11 Pro Max or anything,
yeah,
it's, you know, not smooth, and it would like kind of dig into your finger after you held it for a while. So that was giving me a little bit of annoyance. But with the 12s, it's a sharp, like it's a flat bottom now. So it's now flat. It's nice and smooth.
Yeah.
It's a lot more comfortable on the 12 Pro Max and the 13 Pro Max than it was before that. So I don't have anything like that at all with the 12. It's been very comfortable. It's more of just like, sometimes I'm like holding multiple things, and especially I'm super extra with like the camera. So I've got like my Nikon on me. I've got this, I've got like a, you know, a shoulder pod gimbal thing, and I'm trying, or a GoPro, and I'm like trying to tuck things into pockets. I'm like, my phone is just like too big in this moment right now. And I don't want something a little smaller.
Well, I'm curious your thoughts then. Have been a Mac user for the last several years. What do you think of the 13 Pro? I got the 13 Pro. I got the Sierra Blue. Which color did you get?
I went the Sierra Blue.
Yeah. I figured try the new one.
Yeah.
I've only ever gone silver or black gray. So this is my first color iPhone. So I'm hoping it actually looks pretty good. But did you have any of the Apple Card issues? You know, when pre-orders first started, it was some people like Neil at Apple Insider. It took him forever.
I used my Apple Card. No problems.
Yeah, I didn't either. So I think it was the fastest checkout I've ever experienced. It was like 1 minute. I was like 8:01. My confirmation email came at 8:02. You know, sometimes that takes a while. So yeah, it was pretty simple.
I was out the door with all four phones within 5 minutes.
Yeah. It was pretty good. I actually convinced my wife also to upgrade. She's on an 11, and I convinced her to upgrade to the iPhone 13. So she's got a 13 coming. And I was like double fisting iPhone Apple Store apps like for the pre-orders. I had mine. Hers actually came up first, which I was a little like, but I did both come in on launch day. And so I'll be able to see the 13 as well as the 13 Pro.
Yeah, it seems I was really underwhelmed with the 13, the 13 mini this year. And it looks like most people were as well, because like the pre-orders for the Pros were crazy.
Yeah.
The Pros were the first ones to start slipping their shipping dates.
Right.
And like in my responses on YouTube and Twitter, it was overwhelmingly the Pro and the Pro Max.
Yeah.
Actually more Pro Max than even Pros, which I was shocked by, but my audience isn't the typical audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was overwhelmingly for the Pros this year, which I found really interesting.
Well, I think we've said this before, you've probably heard it before, but the Pro and regular 13 lines is a very different camera system. You know, with the 12s, you could buy a 12 or 12 Pro, and if you don't care about the telephoto lens, you're getting the exact same camera system. And it was really more just like, what material do you want your phone made out of? And most people don't care. They put it in a case anyway. But this time, I think with those big camera improvements, and we've seen some initial reviews, and it looks like the camera improvements are pretty significant on the Pro line. I think that's why people were jumping for that Pro rather than the regular 13.
Yeah, I agree. My wife is due for an upgrade this year. It's been 2 years for her, so she'll go from her 10S, I think.
Whoa.
That's what she's rocking. Yeah, I think 10S.
10S to 13 will be, A significant upgrade.
Yeah, she's pretty excited. But she doesn't have hers until December, because we originally got her, my sister-in-law and I, got her new phone like years ago as a Christmas present.
Gotcha.
So we'd gotten it like a few weeks before Christmas. So she has to wait until December to get her.
Is that on like a Pro carrier contract plan or something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I do the Apple iPhone upgrade plan. And so they'll let you pay an extra month or two to get it like on launch day. And that's what actually a lot of people had to do. And that's what I had to do too, because last year the phones came out in October.
Yeah.
So 12 months, you actually have to pay an extra month to do the upgrade on day one, but they let you do it. It was real easy. So anyway,
yeah, we're on a technically a business plan. So we don't have like, we're limited in what we can do.
Right.
Like I can't even, if I wanted to do like the Apple upgrade plan and just buying it, having it on the business line, can't do it. Like they won't let you do it.
Gotcha. Okay. What did ship and we have in hand is iOS 15 and all the software updates this past week. Are they calling it HomePod OS 15 or is it just HomePod 15?
HomePod Update 15. There's no HomePod OS. There's no HomePod.
This is ridiculous. I wish they would just like lump it in with iOS or something, because like, I think I wrote HomePod OS somewhere. Anyway, HomePod and all the updates, obviously, to iOS 15. I will say, now that I've actually have used the Home app on Apple Watch OS 8, it is definitely much improved. I like it a lot. I don't use a ton on my watch. I use Siri, which also seems a lot faster with all the on-device Siri stuff as opposed to calling to the cloud all the time. So I know you've been living with it for a while in the betas, but now on the actual release, I actually like it. Watch app's pretty good.
Yeah, I did these. So I had three videos for the launches. So I have one video on my favorite new features of iOS 15, favorite new features of the iPad OS 15, and favorite of WatchOS 8. Almost said WatchOS 15. They did videos were super popular. I was really happy with those. And in the WatchOS video, one of the features like had to be the Home app, because I was really excited that they actually gave it some love.
Oh yeah.
You have all your statuses now at the top. Like all of your accessories are there. Like it's so much easier to navigate. Mine's still a little wonky because I have like extra sensors that are like that I don't use and I haven't removed yet, because it just involves like resetting if I want to repair them again and all stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like I'm like demoing it and it's like no response. I'm like, it looks like my Home app is like ridiculous or something. But
right.
I just have like surplus accessories that I've been testing and not everything is currently active. So for your regular home where you've got like
sure
three or four contact sensors, it's really handy because you can just open the app and see right away if you have any doors or windows open. Like it's very nice.
Yeah. Now I will say the two things that I've noticed in the update that I've actually like using is one on HomePod, you can now tell HomePod to play something on the Apple TV and it can open apps. It can even go directly to like an episode or movie, which is something that like Google and I think Amazon Fire Sticks did. But now you could say, hey, Dingus, play the next episode of Ted Lasso on the living room, and it'll just like do it. You know, it'll turn on the Apple TV, if your TV's connected, turn it on, go to the episode. And that's really nice. I really like that. You can even tell it to just like open the YouTube app. And I've done that, just telling it, you know, while I'm doing something else. And I really like that feature. And I also have noticed the feature where you can change the volume of Siri by your voice. So if you speak softly to Siri, it'll answer softly. If you answer loud, it'll be loud. Alexa does this too. Oh, sorry, I said it. Oh, boy.
Oh, you said
anyway,
the thing.
Yeah, the Amazon assistant also does that. It has like the whisper mode, but I was trying it with the HomePod with the Hey Dingus, and I was like, and you know, and it's real soft. And I was like, Hey Dingus, you know, and I would like yell at Siri and it would be louder. So I actually like that, because sometimes I just found it way louder than I expected before, and now it matches your volume. So I don't know. Those are two features I really like. Did you have anything stand out to you?
I wish HomePod like actually did like a whisper though. Like just lowers the volume and it's not still super quiet. Like it's better. Like it's just definitely a better experience, but it's not as quiet as I would like. I can't. Amazon's assistant like straight up does a whisper. Like she gets all breathy and like it's a whisper, and it's kind of, it's like a neat little feature. But HomePod is just like slightly quieter. It's definitely not as good.
Yeah, I agree. But telling the Apple TV to go to an app and start playing something automatically, that's pretty sweet. Well, Apple then released the next beta, iOS 15.1. There's some new features that came to that. But before we get to iOS 15.1, I want to tell you about our friends at Nebbia. You might have heard us talk about Nebbia before, but Nebbia makes water-saving showers. They have multiple models now. They have the Nebbia by Moen Spa Shower, which has like a little magic wand, and height adjustable, which my family loves. And they also have up for pre-order the Nebbio Quattro shower head, which has four different settings. And it, you can like take it off the little magnetic mount and use it as like a handheld shower. We love it because if Apple ever made a shower, this would probably be the one. Actually, Apple CEO Tim Cook was one of the first investors and actually tried it in the prototype period. And Tim Cook said he loved it. It's developed by NASA, Tesla, and previous Apple engineers. And their mission is to save water. And these shower heads save 45% of water compared to normal shower heads. But it has multiple settings. It has great pressure, has great thermal comfort. Got that term from them, which is the, it gets really hot, you know, just as hot as you need. Comes in great finishes. Comes in spot-resistant nickel, matte black, black and chrome, white and chrome. I got the spot-resistant nickel finish, and I have two of them. I actually have the Nebbio by Moen Spa Shower and the Quattro. My kids love the spa shower, again, because it's height-adjustable, and I really like the Quattro. I like the different settings. They have a high-pressure setting, and it really is great for just rinsing or if you like to relax. It has different settings like rain settings and all that kind of stuff. Now, you have one of these too, right, Andrew?
Yeah, we have the Nebbio by Moen, and it's like when they say like a spa shower, like you don't really kind of know what that's like until you actually get it in your shower, and it literally creates like that spa-like experience.
Yeah,
like it almost like fills the whole shower up. Everything, there's like warm air everywhere. Like before you like step out of the shower, like you're in the shower, but you'd get out of the water and then it'd be like cold. Like my wife would be in there and then she'd like shave her legs and it's like freezing to get like back in the shower water. But this creates like just everywhere and there's warm. It's so comfortable. It's crazy cool. Plus I'm huge on the eco-friendly stuff. So I love that it's like a water-saving shower head at the same time.
Yeah. And it is also super easy to swap out. I will tell you, listener, I had not swapped out a shower head in my life until I tried the Nebbio, and I was able to do it in like 15 minutes. They give you all the instructions, all the parts you need, and it is really easy to do the Quattro or the Nebbio by Moen Spa Shower. And so we love them. The Nebbio by Moen Spa Shower starts at just $199. And for HomeKit Insider listeners, we have a deal. The first 50 people to use the promo code HomeKit, just one word, HomeKit, at Nebbio.com will get 10% off Nebbio products. And Nebbio doesn't typically do sales like this, but they've partnered with Apple Insider and HomeKit Insider for a long time. So it's a great deal to jump on. So Nebbio.com/HomeKit is the website. That's Nebbio.com/HomeKit. Check out what they have. And the first 50 people to use the promo code HomeKit when checking out will save 10% on Nebbio products. And there's also those pre-orders up for the Quattro, and you get free shipping when you do that. So again, that's Nebbio.com/HomeKit and use the promo code HomeKit to save 10%. And if you do pre-order the Quattro showerhead, you get free shipping in the US on that. But promo code, good everywhere. Anyway, thanks to Nebbio for sponsoring this episode. All right, so iOS 15.1 came out in beta, and I assume you have jumped on all the betas. So tell us, what is new in iOS 15.1?
Yeah, there's a few new things. One, as we talk about these betas in relation to the new phones, I believe this was a 15 feature, and I've not got to take advantage of it yet. But if anyone's ever been, you know, riding the beta train all summer, and then they go to get their new iPhones, what typically happens is Apple release the first point update right after the major update releases. So in this case, this year, you know, they drop iOS 15, and then a few days later, they come out with 15.1. The new iPhones will show up a few days later. They're only rocking 15.0. When you go to restore your 0.1 beta update to your 0.0 new device, it doesn't work. So you have to like set up the devices new, then you have to download the beta profiles, install the beta update, then restore the phone, then set it up as new now that you're both on the beta of like 0.1 of whatever version it is. And it's always a little bit of a headache. And I believe with 15, they've actually made it possible that you can mitigate this issue and you can actually update your new device to the beta at the same time as you're transferring your data. So it's like an all-in-one process and it's no longer like a hassle. Mm-hmm. Again, I have not tried this yet because I have not bought a new device, but I'm in that situation. My primary phone is on 15.1 and I'm about to get the 13, you know, here tomorrow, and I'm going to have that on 15. So I'm going to have to update it and do all that. So I'm excited to see how that new process is going to actually work for me, because otherwise it just was always a pain. So I'm excited to try that out with 15.1 and 15. But with 15.1, we have a few new features. First, they're adding the ability to add verified vaccine records to Wallet. So this is like your COVID vaccine. You got your COVID vaccine and you can scan like a QR code, add it to the health app, and then it can be added to the Wallet app. And then that is a verifiable vaccine status. So if you go to places like a concert venue or an airport or other places that require like proof of vaccine, they'll be able to scan like the QR code or the code that is on that vaccine card in your wallet to get confirmation that you were vaccinated. It only works with the smart enabled passes. Like, it's a process that is like back-end process to make sure that the card you're adding to the wallet is like secure and verified and true, all that kind of stuff. And not everyone supports those yet. Like for me, I happen to get mine through the Cleveland Clinic, and their passes are, I have my actual like vaccine records in the health app that are syncing through Cleveland Clinic, but I cannot add those to my wallet yet. So it only is cards that are supporting like the smart for verifying those, because they don't want any, because otherwise you could like screenshot it and stuff like that. Like, there's thought that goes into this to make sure they're actually like verified, not copied, it's yours, stuff like that. But that is one big change coming with 15.1. Another change with 15.1 is lossless audio has come back to HomePod and HomePod Mini. That's exactly what we want to talk about on the show, is, you know, HomePod stuff. And it's really easy to enable. You just go into the Home app, tap that Home icon in the upper left-hand corner, go down to your profile, I believe there, for anyone listed in your house, click on yours, go down to Media, and underneath Media, you will see Apple Music. Tap on Apple Music, and there's two toggles, one for Dolby Atmos spatial audio and one for lossless audio. Toggle those on, and you'll be able to stream lossless audio to your HomePods. Very easy to do. They're just downloading the higher rate audio through the Wi-Fi. But I will say, don't expect massive changes in audio. I mean, it's HomePod Mini especially. Like, it's not the best speaker around. It's downloading a higher quality source file, but it's not going to change the speaker that's inside. So just take that in consideration. Don't expect like a don't expect you're going to do this, and all of a sudden your HomePod is going to sound like, you know, $1,000 name speaker or something. Like,
right. Now, wasn't the larger HomePod getting lossless as well?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So so we got it with the 15.1 too.
Yes.
Yeah. I should have said also, not one, two, one also. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you notice any difference, like, personally?
No, not yet. But I haven't sat and done like a listening session or anything.
Right.
I just sat here like while working and telling, you know, Siri to play some happy music or some classic rock, whatever. And I don't know.
Right.
When you're just streaming like that way, I have no idea to tell what song is a lossless one and which one's not, because not everything is. And if, especially when I'm playing older stuff, it's not always mastered in the Apple lossless files.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of asterisks that go alongside that. I'd have to like look at the song and see if it was lossless, and then I have to like toggle it off and then replay it.
Yeah.
And see if I could tell a difference. I don't care that much. So,
yeah.
I mean, if there's a chance it's going to sound better, cool. Toggle it on. I have no data cap on my home Wi-Fi. So, yeah, let's do it. Let's do the lossless if possible. But I'm not going to, didn't expect there to be a massive difference.
Right. Do you notice a difference in the responsiveness and reliability of Siri after iOS 15 and now even 15.1?
I mean, I've had 15 for all summer, so it's always hard to say. I've not noticed any substantial difference either way. I've never had an issue with responsiveness, and I haven't noticed it get better or worse with 15.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's better, because there were some commands for me on 14 whatever, 0.8, that just were not even working, and I think it's better with 15. So I'm hopeful. I'll be curious, listeners, as you have updated to the release of iOS 15, if you've noticed reliability improve, especially on HomePod and HomePod Mini, especially the big HomePod. My big HomePods were getting real unreliable. I was going to say irreliable. That's not a word.
Nope, it's not.
Unreliable. No, it is not. So anyway, good to see lossless come in 15.1.
Yeah. SharePlay, by the way, is also here in 15.1. Ooh. So that's returned Apple delayed SharePlay from the release,
right,
iOS 15 and all of the updates, and it's here in the new one. So tvOS 15.1, I believe macOS Monterey Beta 7 also has SharePlay. It sounds like this is the update that SharePlay will return. So that's pretty cool. That's exciting.
That is exciting. We'll
hopefully see that soon.
Is the screen sharing feature part of SharePlay?
I think it is, but I think it is.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I haven't tried it either. Okay, well, we also both got the new, quote-unquote new, MagSafe wallet, which now can be put into the Find My app. There's not some kind of U1 chip or like the same kind of AirTag functionality, but it has an NFC chip where if you separate the new MagSafe wallet from a phone and it's separated for more than a minute, you'll be notified that you left the wallet somewhere and it will record that location where you left it. So it's pretty cool. You actually had the official review. What do you think about it?
Well, I want to know, there's two questions I want to know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
First is, what changed in V2 here? And I don't think it is, like, it's not that it has an NFC chip now.
Right.
It had an NFC chip before. You could tell this by the fact that when you put on a wallet to your phone,
right,
you would see that animation come on the screen that was the same size as the wallet that went on the back.
Yes.
So it was detecting that it was a wallet in that case.
Right.
But I don't know, like, so what's different? Because I think if it was already detecting it was a wallet, then maybe it should just be a software update on the phone side.
Right.
But maybe they had to write additional data to the NFC chip, because like an NFC chip can be read, but the iPhone's not writing things to the NFC chip. So maybe they had to make some additional, you know, new data written to the chip on these newer versions that are going to allow that to be read. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
So that's the first question, just the nebulous question that I had. But then the follow-up was, why doesn't it work with Apple's clear cases?
Right.
Like, what is up with that? And a case on the floor for some reason. But what about this case does not like the wallets? And I will say it didn't work with the last generation wallet either. Mm. So you can use them with these cases, but it won't work with the Find My capabilities.
Right.
And on the older wallets, like a first gen one here, if you put this on, it won't do the animation on your screen. So it's like it's blocking the NFC signal. I don't know if the plastic's like too thick.
I don't know, because on the clear case, there's such like an atrocious white circle on the back. Like I got that clear case with the iPhone 12. And I was like, this thing's ugly, man.
I don't mind it at all.
Really?
Not even a little bit.
I don't know what is blocking it, though, because that white circle for MagSafe is like protruding almost. Not really protruding,
nope,
but like
it's
pretty visible. So I don't imagine the plastic is, you know, that. You know, because the leather cases, you don't see the ring at all. And so there's leather in between it. Silicone, same thing. I have no idea. I do think it's strange. I think both of your questions are very valid. I would love to know why the previous Apple Wallet doesn't work with Find My. Like, it seems the only difference is the word new on top of the product in the Apple Store. Like, that seems to be the only difference.
Well, yeah, they haven't said anything else. There are four new colors. There goes that case again. Don't worry, it's in a case.
Around.
I'm kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
The new colors are Sequoia Green, Midnight, Golden Brown, and Dark Cherry, I want to believe.
Yeah.
It's off the top of my head, Steven. I've been living in the world of Apple accessories too long this week.
That was pretty good. That was good. You're like right off the corner.
We did like the hands-on with the silicone cases, hands-on with the leather cases, hands-on with every new Apple Watch
so
band.
So many cases.
And then
yes,
the MagSafe wallet reviews. So like, yeah, I'm like, I know all of Apple's terms for colors. Is it black? No, it's Midnight.
Right.
Yeah, know the colors.
There's no black anything this year unless you get like this
Nike
space gray something. Yeah, but doesn't the Midnight have like that blue tint? Isn't that what everybody's saying?
I don't think there's a blue tint. I've got the stuff sitting here. I don't see any blue tint.
Really?
It's like a slight, it's not perfectly black. I think it's like a step down from black. I wouldn't say it's a blue tint.
Okay.
To it, it's still just very dark, but I'm pretty much just saying black.
Okay. I like this. I got the Starlight watch band,
mm-hmm,
and I'm also getting the Starlight iPad mini when it comes in. I kind of like the Starlight shade. Of the new colors, which ones do you like?
Ooh. Okay. So I like a few colors. I really like the Abyss Blue.
Yes.
It's pretty fantastic. And then the Sequoia Green in the leather. So the Abyss Blue is Apple's silicone color.
Yes.
For its sport band and all of those. And then for the leather ones, the Sequoia Green leather link and the Sequoia Green new wallet is like my favorite. It's just like a really dark green, like a forest green color.
Yes.
I guess instead of going with forest green, they picked a specific, I'll have to go with Sequoia. That's the specific tree.
It
works.
I agree though. I got the Sequoia Green wallet and I really like that green. Green's actually my favorite color. And I got the Abyss Blue silicone case and I love that blue as well. I also got the dark cherry woven loop or the braided solo loop. And I like that dark cherry as well. I'm thinking about, this is ridiculous, but I'm thinking about getting also the Abyss Blue braided solo loop, because the Abyss Blue is really nice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to the wallet. So you did the review of it. What do you think of the functionality? Because I've tested it a little bit, but how's it been working for you?
It works just fine. It works just fine. So to be clear, so like what works and what doesn't work with this guy is you can get that alert when it comes off your phone.
Right.
As you said, Steven, it only does it for if it's been disconnected for a minute.
Right.
So the idea being, you know, I got my wallet on my phone. I'm at some mom pop store. They don't accept Apple Pay. I'm pulling this off, pulling out my Apple card. Do your payment thing. And then you're putting it back on in less than a minute so you don't get that alert. And then right. Other times, maybe you're sitting at a restaurant, you took it off, you gave your card to the hostess or the waiter, they're going and doing your payment thingy, you come back, you slide it in, maybe you don't put it on your phone right away, and it kind of sits there. And that's been now more than a minute, and it's pinned that location. Yeah. You're more likely to leave your wallet behind if it's been longer than a minute, or it did come off and you didn't realize it, and it's going to pin that minute location. So it's like pretty close to where it may have fallen off or where it did come off. So I think that makes sense how they did it for longer than a minute. But once it falls off, they're just going to tell you where that location is, but nothing else. You can't track it. You can't find it. There's no Bluetooth. It's not a Bluetooth tracker or anything. You can go back to the location and just try to find it. Now, if someone else finds your wallet and they tell you like, "Ooh, this is a cool wallet," and they stick it to their iPhone, your phone number will show up on their screen. So they can contact you, which I think is a neat feature.
Yeah.
But you do have to assume that whoever finds it is going to be like...
altruistic.
Yes, and give you your wallet back.
So I've done that, and it is pretty cool. You know, when you first attach it to your phone, you get the whole setup screen, like a pair of AirPods or something.
The little card shows up at the bottom, like AirTags, AirPods, all of that. It's very nice.
Exactly. I do think it's interesting that it goes into the devices tab of the Find My app and not the items tab.
Seriously, it makes no sense to me. And people are like arguing with me on Twitter. Well, it's because it's paired with your iPhone and your iPhone's a device. I was like, no, everything is paired like with your... Like a Van Moof bike that's an item, but your wallet is a device. No.
Yeah.
Honestly, I expected it to change in 15.1, and that was one of the first things I checked. Like, because I'm like, Apple had to realize that that's dumb and put it in the proper category. It's still in devices, but.
Yeah.
Maybe beta 2. Apple, fix that. Stupid.
Yeah, that would be great. I also, the one thing that was a little annoying is when I get in the car, I have my Belkin MagSafe car mount, and I like to put my phone on the car mount when I'm in the car, but you have to take the MagSafe wallet off to do that. And so every time I get in the car, eventually a minute later, I'll get a notification like, you left your wallet at such and such. And it's like, it's good. I'm glad, you know, it's not super bothersome, but I also feel like, I don't know, I wish you could attach the MagSafe wallet like on the phone to a car mount. And I know that's not possible because all that magnets probably wipe all your cards or, you know, there'd be another like MagSafe ring on the exterior of the wallet. So I totally get why that's not a thing. But that was the only like, I wish I could just throw it on the car mount without having to take the wallet off, getting another notification and all that.
So the reason I don't get bothered by that is what you should be doing, Steven.
What's that?
You should be using the focus modes. When you get in the car, it should immediately go into driving. Okay, going into your driving focus, and then within driving, you turn off your notifications from Find My. So you don't get those Find My notifications while you're driving. It still comes in, it'll be in your notification summary, but at that point you don't care. Yeah. Like you just dismiss your whole summary when you arrive. But then you don't get those errant notifications annoying you. So that's what you should do.
And I do that. I do that. I'm trying to set up focus modes. I do that. I do the driving do not disturb focus mode.
Apparently you don't do that because you said it happens to you.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes it just comes through. But anyway, no, I do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it comes through. It doesn't just decide to come through, Steven.
No. Like I take the wallet off and there's a minute before I guess start the car.
Who sits in their car for a whole minute before starting their car?
Here's the thing.
Especially in the summer or in the South where you are from.
I drive an older Kia Soul, the hamster mobile, and the Bluetooth in that car is janky. I'll just say that. And there are times when it takes a while for my phone to connect to the Bluetooth. So even if I start the car, it still could be like a couple minutes before it connects. And sometimes it just decides it can't connect. And so I literally have to repair my phone pretty much every other time I get in the car. So that's why sometimes it pops up, just because my car is dumb. Not the, it's not the phone or the wallet. It's just my car doesn't understand what Bluetooth is half the time.
Well, then you cannot comment in a MagSafe wallet review about your
about the thing
complaining about my the dumb wallet car Bluetooth. When it's your dumb car.
Yeah, it is a dumb car. But I like it, and I think I'll actually be using the MagSafe wallet more. Over the past year, I've been going back and forth using my, I think I have a Herschel wallet, you know, holds like 6 cards or whatever, plus the inside. I've been going back and forth between that and the MagSafe wallet. And with this feature, I think I'm going to try and use the MagSafe wallet more now. I'm going to put 3 cards in it. I was just using 2 with the previous version, but I'm going to try doing 3 and see if I can just use it ongoing. Because I would like to know if I leave my wallet somewhere, I can look at the Find My app and see where it is.
That was always my problem, was that it only really held 2 cards, but I need 3.
Yeah.
Because I do have my debit card, my ID, and my Apple card. Yeah, I need to be able to hold 3. It really only held 2 for me. It was like real tight, and it was like difficult to remove them.
Yeah.
When I went to 3, so I'm like, no, can't do it. But I've been recently using for a while now this guy, like the Surface Pad, from 12 South. And it's got like cards in the front of the folio, and then I have the spot in the back where I can put the MagSafe wallet. So now it can actually hold 3 cards, and I put like cash or something in the pockets on the inside.
Nice.
So I've got a little bit of spare cash and my ID and then my 2 credit cards along the back. So that's been working out pretty well, but
okay.
I wish there was one that held 3. I want a MagSafe wallet that holds 3. Apple has opened the Find My program to third-party companies. We've seen third-party devices like the Van Move bikes, the Belkin Truos earbuds, that will integrate into Find My, the Chipolo tracker.
Right.
I'm waiting for one of these companies to make a flipping MagSafe wallet with Find My capabilities in there.
Yeah.
It should not have to be that much thicker, because I've seen, like, we have, like, the tile trackers that are absurdly thin.
Right.
If you ditch that plastic for the leather and put in the MagSafe stuff,
yeah,
I would hope that would all be able to fit in a tight enough spot. I'm sure it would be an engineering challenge, but I feel like it could be done. We got these third-party companies making Find My devices and mag and wallets, just put them together.
Yeah, and Wes has that like wallet with the AirTag slot built in, but
yep.
I do not want to put an AirTag in a wallet. Like, I just want the wallet to have a U1 chip. Like, that's all.
I really like the Nomad new wallets.
Mm.
And they're using the Hormone leather, but it's like thermoformed leather. So it actually has like a creates like more of a pocket on the inside and doesn't create as many indentations as it normally would. And they haven't shipped yet, but they have a credit card holder for AirTag. It's literally like credit card size, and it can slide into any wallet that way. Their new thermoformed ones, as well as like any other wallet that you may have, it'll just slide into the credit card slot. And it gets rid of like the normal bulge and weirdness of just trying to slot an AirTag in there. So I really like that. When I do carry a wallet, like I do have like the Nomad wallet that I put time every once in a while, if I'm carrying like multiple cards, I want to take my company card stuff with me, then I'll pull out like my actual wallet. But that's what I would put in there. I would get that Nomad card and slot that in and then have an AirTag that way.
Yeah. I do want to mention one other Find My feature that is new to iOS 15, which is the left behind feature, where if you want to program it, where if you leave your phone at a location, you can get a notification on your watch that you've left your phone behind somewhere. And you can also include places that are excluded from that. So you can add like your home address and say, you know, don't notify me if I leave my phone at home, but do notify me if I leave it anywhere else. You can also remove your home thing. I actually did that and I didn't realize the feature was already set up. I left my phone in the car, ran to like get something from a shop and came right back. But in the time that I stepped out of the car, went into the store, my watch dinged me and said, hey, you left your phone behind, and gave me the address. And I just want to say, awesome feature and really love that.
I mean, it's long overdue because everyone else has had this.
Mm.
They've had it for a long time. So it was ridiculous. Apple launched AirTags without this feature.
Oh, true.
In
true,
general. True, true. Because this is like a basic feature. Tile, Chipolo, everyone under the sun has had this feature. And I'm very glad that Apple did add it with 15, but it'll work with your AirTag. It'll work with your AirPods. It'll work with your like iPad. Like I take my iPad Pro with me a ton, and I'll be somewhere and I'll like start to walk out of the car or something. We'll get in the car and it's like, you left your iPad Pro behind. I was like, frick. Like, it actually has been super helpful.
Yeah.
And as you said, you can whitelist places because, like, I don't want to get notified every time I leave my house about my iPad Pro.
Right.
But I would like to know if I leave it anywhere else.
Right.
But you could do it with your wallet. If you got an AirTag in your wallet, do you leave your house without your wallet? You can get an alert about that. So I very happy with that feature for sure.
Yeah, same. So overall, I feel like if you have a previous MagSafe wallet, I don't know. I guess if you want this feature, you really have no choice but to upgrade. Like, I don't think there's going to be...
It's not worth it. For me, it's a hard pass. Like, it's not a big enough feature for me to, like, upgrade over.
Yeah.
The only reason that you should upgrade is if you're looking for the colors.
Mm.
That's it. If you're buying, like, Apple, if you got your 13 Pro and you're getting the Sequoia Green leather case and you're like, man, I want my wallet to match, that's what you have to do. You have to get the new wallet to go with and you're going to get the Find My feature. But the wallets are still $60.
Yeah.
$60 for this thing, and you're just getting a pinned location where it was removed at. That's the feature. You're getting a pinned location whenever your wallet's removed.
Right.
To me, that is not worth the price there.
Yeah.
And I really feel like they could have implemented something similar in Find My without a new piece of hardware. They probably made the new hardware because it does add to the experience with the card and your phone number added to it and all of those things. But
yeah.
In general, I feel like Apple knows something's connected to your phone. You already got your vibration alerts when it's added or removed. Tie it to that. Tie it to shortcuts and create a shortcut automation that whenever something is MagSafe device is removed from your phone, whatever it is, battery pack, wallet, any MagSafe device, spend more than a minute, send an alert.
Yeah.
And you could have created an automation that way. And they didn't need the new hardware. They could have done it with shortcuts. And I still want them to do shortcuts because I think there's other stuff we could do tying into MagSafe, like prompting a status or playing something when you dock it to something or in your car, like just by triggering via MagSafe connection or device type. So there's stuff they could do there, but they haven't done it.
Well, very good. Well, I'll put a link to Andrew's review, obviously, in the show notes. You can check that out. Before we go, let's touch on just a couple listener questions that have been carrying over. We've had some busy weeks. Angel Vargas on Twitter, he was asking, you know, he loves Apple and everything they do, but are they becoming stale? He said, quote unquote, you know, Amazon is announcing TV sets and they have their own routers, thermostats, Amazon and Google talking about them. You know, the affordable TV sticks, probably talking about the Amazon Fire Stick, Google Chromecast, different speaker lines and all that. You know, what's the deal with smart home stuff and Apple? You know, I feel where he's coming from. I was disappointed when the big HomePod was discontinued. I feel like Apple would benefit from a cheaper streaming stick, but also Apple does a lot other product categories that these companies do not. I mean, they make the Mac. You know, Google has Chromebooks, but it is not the same. You know, Apple with Apple Silicon, with the M1 and the entire OS being, you know, a Chromebook runs like a Chrome web browser, basically, and then Android apps. But Apple is doing, obviously, a lot more with macOS longstanding. But again, even some of the more recent updates. When it comes to the home stuff, again, I get it. Maybe the Matter initiative that will be coming in 2022, having this interoperability among standards, that will bring some more devices. The Thinka Z-Wave Hub that we just talked about a couple weeks ago with the CEO, Michael Franken, that adds a bunch of devices to HomeKit. But you also talk about security and privacy. That's one of the reasons why Apple, especially home devices and HomeKit, is a little bit of a slower process because companies have to go through a longer approval process for that privacy and security that you get with HomeKit. So I do not think they're stale at all. I mean, you just look at the iPhone 13 line they just announced, the iPad mini, like they're doing incredible work. I understand the home stuff and you talk about speakers and like TV sticks, but who knows what Apple might do in the future. They might do high-end stuff again when it comes to audio or different TV sticks. But I don't know, Andrew, what do you think?
No, I don't think they're in any way becoming stale. I think people may be jaded just from the routine announcement of new like phones, but they're not stale. And Amazon is doing... So Amazon, they don't have like... Okay, yes, they have their own TV sets. They have their own routers, thermostats, cameras, all of that. But they don't do it. They're just buying these companies. They bought Ring. They bought Eero. They're just buying up these companies. And like you said, they're just building on Android. So they don't have to do a whole flipping operating system like Apple with iOS or macOS or watchOS or HomePod updates, tvOS, like all of those updates that Apple has to maintain. They just slap their own skin on top of Android. It's a much faster process.
Right.
Amazon is like, they're like doing like almost like the opposite of Apple. They're just trying to branch out and do more of these devices. There's speakers. I saw like a random Billie Eilish branded Echo Studio speaker. And I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. What? Like they're just doing all this stuff, but that's why they're getting caught up in all this antitrust regulation. Cause they're literally just making one of everything. None of it is particularly good, in my opinion. No one's ever said, man, this Echo speaker sounds great. I've never heard anybody say that. Right. They just like it because it's got, you know, Amazon's assistant on there and can control so many things. It's going to so many things as possible. And that's what Amazon's trying to do. They're trying to get in every flipping piece of hardware in your home and then branch out from there, collect as much data as they can for their own, you know, marketing use purposes. That's why they can keep those prices low. And you're buying it from them. You don't have, like, all these other companies are going and selling on Amazon, and cut of that sale has to go to Amazon. Amazon can undercut those prices and sell it, you know, their brand directly and make more than selling the third-party products. So their hardware is not that great. Nothing's that impressive. And they're becoming stale in a lot of their stuff. I mean, we just saw an updated Kindle Paperwhite that finally brought USB-C. Right. Wasn't that like the new one? Like
just recently, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a week ago, this week maybe. So like, talk about becoming stale. Like, oh, cool, you finally added USB-C to your product. Great. Yeah, so I think Amazon is stale stuff. I don't think any of their products are particularly that great. I will say I actually do like the Eero routers.
Yeah.
And if you're not selling to Amazon and keeping with the HomeKit stuff, I feel more safe with those than I did in the past.
Sure.
Obviously, I don't feel comfortable with the Ring products and like the huge issue with privacy, with Amazon Sidewalk, with contractors being able to like view footage from those cameras. Like there's so many issues with that thing going on, but they're all kind of just separate companies and Amazon keeps buying up. And if they don't have a company that they can buy up, then they just take some generic piece of Android hardware, slap some of their code on top of it and sell it on their thing. So Apple's going to, like over-engineer everything. Like, you know, how much time they spent on like the littlest things to make sure their quality is like as high as possible.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what you're getting different. Apple, when Steve Jobs came back, right? He like slashed like half of Apple's product categories. Like he killed off so many things that they were doing because they had spread themselves thin and they were doing all this stuff. They weren't selling in, you know, the big enough numbers and they were spreading their engineering teams thinner. They weren't focusing on like core products. So I like that Apple focuses on core products. The new iPad mini, like I think is amazing. It's so cool. It's a crazy cool tablet. But at the same time, it's also not that super exciting. We've seen similar designs on the iPad Air and the iPad Pros. We've seen the same chip before. We've seen Liquid Retina displays before. We've seen Touch ID on power buttons with the iPad Air before. You know, it too just got USB-C after going from Lightning, even though it's like a smaller tablet. So it's not like not that exciting, but it's also the amount of work and engineering to make it what it is beyond anything that we're seeing from Amazon or even Google.
Agree. Well, last question real quick. This is from Rayburn on Twitter. He got the new OneLink smoke and CO detector. He's having an issue connecting it because the whole 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi versus the 5 point something. I forgot exactly what it is. And this is one of those issues where, you know, we've talked about trying to set up HomeKit devices that you have to be on the 2.4 gigahertz. If you can jump into those Eero settings, I think you can turn off the 5 gigahertz radio, at least temporarily, so you can get your device and the smart device all on that 2.4 and then set it up. And hopefully when it's set it up, you can turn it back on. But other than that, you can try to go like far away from your Eero routers because usually distance makes it default to the 2.4 gigahertz because that usually has a longer range.
Well, if it's a wired smoke detector, he probably cannot move it.
Well, I'm saying like if his phone is not seeing it because the phone is on the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi spectrum, you know, you moving your phone away from the router will get the phone at 2.4 because usually it's the device that only does 2.4 and that's what causes the issue. So you could try to just go farther away from your Wi-Fi router with your phone and see if it'll set up that way. But yeah, other than that, just see if you could turn off that 5 gigahertz radio.
Yeah, that's just really frustrating when that happens. And I typically blame the device. I would typically blame in the situation OneLink for them not being able to connect to the right band because it should be able to do it. We're in the age of these mesh networks where you should not have to split your networks. You should not have to name it Ray 2.4 and Ray 5. Like to separate out your networks. Like,
no.
That's inexcusable at this point. I will say, I have several of these OneLink sensors in my house. I have the Safe and Sound with the speaker inside, and I also have like smoke and CO detectors, and I have Eero routers, and I didn't have any issues. I don't know why mine seemed to work fine.
Yeah, it can be finicky. Anyway, listeners, keep those questions coming. Tell us what you got. Did you get the iPhone 13? You get the HomePod Mini? No.
Nope.
iPad Mini. You might get a HomePod Mini too. That's cool. Maybe. You know, get them all.
Same time, yeah.
But, yes, I don't know. Tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handle is in the show notes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. The YouTube channel link is in the show notes as well. You can watch the show and watch me hold my phone with a pinky. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And all the links to Andrew's reviews and videos will also be in the show notes, and you should check those out.
And tell Steven he has a Southern accent.
False. Thanks. Home Couture's come to my aid once again.
That Southern drawl.
Coffee. Nope. Coffee in the pork.
Nope.
Okay. Show's over.
That's it. Cancel it.
That's it.
Too much.
All right.